Welcome to this weekend's episode of Nevada Backcountry. We are pre-recording this episode as well, full disclosure. We also pre-recorded the episode last weekend, Dave.
Yes.
And so I've got to add, it's not necessarily a correction, but we walked out of the studio after recording that episode, and my social media feed lit up with the land transfer stuff has been stripped from that bill.
Correct, yeah.
Hey, listeners, last weekend, all you heard was Dave and I talking about getting in touch with your representative and making sure that that did not get through. Well, we dodged a bullet. Yeah.
Good job, everybody.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Day late and a dollar short on that one.
Yeah, so no land transfer taken out of the bill. So
we are good to go.
Yeah.
This weekend's episode, look, tags came out last week. We're going to talk a little bit about that, who got what we're excited about. And then, as usually happens to both of us on tag day,
yeah,
our phones went nuts. Everything from panic to sheer joy to
the
where do I start?
Rigged.
Oh, yeah. Yes. The system's rigged against me. So we're going to do a little bit of everything today as far as target panic stuff, and not in the like target archery sense, but you know, on an animal.
Yeah, first time hunters out there. Yeah. We got quite a bit of stuff from first time hunters kind of curious on, I got a tag now and I'm panicking. What's the first thing I should focus on? So
even just setup stuff.
Yeah.
We got some, we'll call it listener interaction there to deal with. People talking about changing their setups, end out resources for hunters. We're going to bite off all of it today. First, I want to make sure I plug Hunt and House, Tim's shop down there.
Off of Longley, yeah.
It is going to be a madhouse, folks.
Oh, yes.
So both of us showed up over there. Gosh, what was that last?
Well, the 23rd, the day tags
25th,
came out.
25th,
yeah. Yep. Yeah.
It was a nonstop stream of people coming in.
Yeah. And that was just hours after tags were released. They were pretty busy with
bows, with arrows, broadheads.
Yeah. This is the hunter's Christmas.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You either find out you got coal or you were a good boy or girl.
I overheard somebody that when I was standing there chatting with you guys, and a guy walks in getting new strings on his bow. I commend that guy.
Yes, big time.
Yep. You got to get that stuff done now.
Yeah, that is one thing. And we'll hit that topic. But man, pull your stuff out now. Because specifically with strings for your bows, a lot of these places, Winner's Choice, Gas, Threads, Thread,
yep.
Phantom, all of these string makers, if you're not fortunate enough to be building your own strings, which, you know, is
luckily
nice.
I know one David Catalano that builds strings.
it's 4 to 6 weeks out. Yeah. So you show up at Hunting House, you know, a week before season starts, it's not going to be a good scene.
Kudos to the guy that walked in and was getting them now, because, man, August 1st will come quickly.
Oh, buddy.
Let's dive right into tags, Dave.
Yes.
I'll let you go first, because you did good, Dave. What'd you get?
I got my bull elk, archery bull elk.
Absolutely.
So I finally drew that one, and then we have our deer tag.
Party deer tag.
Yeah, we're going to be chasing some elk this year. We're going to be chasing not just my bull elk. We got others.
I drew a cow tag, too.
Yes, you did.
Friend of ours is on that party. She's got a cow tag. Yeah, just vibrating.
Oh,
I can't wait.
Oh, I cannot. It's going to be so awesome. And the beauty is we have two brand new hunters that we have kind of been mentoring.
Shooting bows with
and getting them dialed in. And both of them drew tags.
Yep. One of them drew an antelope buck tag.
Yeah, antelope longer than ears tag. And then the other one drew a deer and a
cow,
and a cow elk.
Yeah.
Right off the get-go.
And you know what's cool about your, we won't say units, but your bull tag is in a very good unit.
Very good unit.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. But the cool thing is, one of our friends, her antelope tag, is in the same unit that our cow tag is in.
Yeah, and the same time period.
Same time period. So I mean, it could not have been served up any better.
No way, no.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a pretty awesome camp.
Yes, and for listeners of the show, you know how I feel about mule deer, and I griped that I did not chase mule deer last year.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to hold on to it for now, but I think I'm going to turn in my mule deer tag.
Yeah.
Because
same here.
I want to fill the freezer with a cow, help our friends get their freezers filled, and then I want to chase bulls with you.
Yeah.
So I think that deer tag's got to go away.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, that's one of the tough parts about being a diehard archer is when you do draw several archery tags.
Yeah.
The seasons absolutely overlap like crazy. You got antelope and cow elk starts August 1. You got deer starts August 10th. And then you've got bull starts August 25th.
Yeah.
So
our August and that first couple weeks of September
is
big. So don't try getting a hold of Dave or I during that period.
Yeah. From July through September.
We're gone.
And then probably October because we'll be chasing sheep.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Now, here we are gloating. I'm sure there are listeners out there that did not draw.
Yeah, who are cursing at us right now on the other side.
So you had a conversation last night with someone.
Yes, I did. So through our social media and through several platforms, had a person online who was, you know, he was really bitching. He hadn't had a tag in, this was his fourth year without a tag. And he was just griping about it. And we got to messaging back and forth. Come to find out, you know, over the last 10 years, including the 4 years of him not having a tag now.
Yeah.
In that other 6 years prior to his 4 year dry spell, he drew his sheep tag. He drew a bull tag. He drew an antelope tag and three deer tags. And he's bitching because he hasn't had a tag in 4 years. I'm like, dude, you're not thankful for the previous 6 years? You had some of the most freaking
coveted
tags.
Yeah.
You know, there's people who'll never get a sheep tag.
I'd give up my left pinky toe for a sheep tag, buddy.
Yeah. So I'm like, you got to, you know, be thankful, man. And yeah. Sure. Yeah. Look at the areas you're putting in. I mean, that is one big thing we've always told people is, yeah, you may not put it, you may not get a tag for 4 or 5, 6 years, but look at what you're putting in, where you're putting in. There's a lot of folks out there like, well, I'm not wasting my 8 points, 9 points, 10 points on those areas. Yeah. I want this specific area. I have several people that I know that for like sheep and deer, elk, they put in one choice. Every year, one choice.
And it's those units where it's like two tags or something?
Right, yeah, because that's where the
big,
buckle rams or the big elk are in and stuff. And, well, I only put in for that area and that's it. And I'm like, well, there's your problem.
Right. So let's talk about that real quick because I have those conversations with people too. And I always ask them, are they an any legal weapon only person? Are they an archery person, a muzzleloader person, et cetera? And it's always funny to me because they will tell you, hey, the system's rigged against me. I haven't drawn and blah, 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 blah. And these, I always see these names getting tags. And so I know that something's broken. Look, if you are limiting yourself, I'll use muzzleloader. Now, there are more muzzleloader tags, but still overall compared to archery and rifle.
Yeah.
Muzzleloader tags are a small pool.
Yes.
If you only want to hunt muzzleloader and you're one of these guys putting in for that, let's say like the Caliente deer unit and, you know, stuff like that, man, there's like 5 tags in there or 6 tags. Like, if that's all you're picking, you are not going to draw as often as someone like me. I don't care if there's a knife season, I'm putting in for knives. Like, I just want to hunt.
Yeah.
And I don't care if it's archery and the rubies. I just don't care.
And you put in for all 5.
100%.
You put in for all 5 choices. And usually the last 2 choices are, you know, for like archery, it's like area 17 and area 10.
Right.
High probability you're getting a tag.
Bingo. Yeah.
So you're going to see my name on that list a lot because for one, I just want to get out.
Absolutely.
I want to hunt. I want to take my bow for a hike.
I'm cool with that.
And I'm cool with that.
Yep.
I'm totally cool with it because I'm out there, I'm hunting. And I'll tell you, they pull some big deer out of Area 10 every year.
Yep. You and I, a friend of ours does. Yeah. So, I mean, they can be found, but that's the thing. And like we talked to Sage Morai about this. He had 1 year where he was like, I just want these couple units. I want to see if I can draw one of these like really, really coveted tags. And he was okay with knowing, like, man, my odds are slim.
Yeah.
I probably won't draw, but this is what I want to do. And sure enough, he didn't draw. And he's like, no, I'm cool with it, though. Yeah. And then the next year, he went back to, oh, I'm going to put in for Area 17 or Area 7 for this or whatever.
Yeah. Definitely look at the odds. And this is where we'll bring up on the Endow website. There's what's called Hunter Information Sheets.
Ooh, yeah. Hey, Dave, save that because we got to go to a break.
Yes, we do.
Coming up next, let's talk about some of the Endow resources for hunters that maybe haven't been into some of these units they have drawn. That's coming up next on Nevada Backcountry. Hey, welcome back to Nevada Backcountry, only on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. If you miss a show or you miss a segment of a show, you can always go to 991fmtalk.com. All the past episodes are there. Just click on the podcast tab. Or if you're an Apple user, just search Nevada Backcountry on Apple Podcasts. I want to thank Performance Shooting Institute, Jim Irwin, for being a show sponsor. He is another phenomenal resource. Maybe for those of you that you drew that rifle tag, maybe you're not 100% confident in that old Winchester Model 70 with a fixed six-power Leupold on it, and you want to get out and see what that rifle is capable of, make sure you get in touch with Performance Shooting Institute. Sign up for a private lesson, go out there, and prepare yourself for this season. We went to break there, Dave, kind of on a cliffhanger. I started getting texts the day after tags came out at like 5:30 in the morning. Hey, man, I drew this tag in this unit. Where should I start looking? Or, hey, I have this. Do you know how the access is here? Every year this happens. And I mean, I love it because it's the friend group doing our friend group thing.
Yeah.
But I always tell people, and I'm going to use this platform talking to a bunch of people to tell everybody the same thing I tell my friends that get in touch with me, Endow resources.
Yeah.
They're a great starting point.
Oh, yeah. And they've really improved over the last few years. The resource that Henry's talking about is, so you get on the endow.org website.
Yep.
And in the search engine, you can type in Hunter Information Sheets. And that'll take you right to that particular tab. And then under that is all the species, all the hunt, you know, you have elk, antelope, all goes all the way down. So you go down, you find the animal that you have a tag for, you click it, and then it'll open up the units. It'll have every separate unit that has a tag.
And it's great because they're organized by the hunt units.
Yeah.
So like it's not just a 141 sheet, 142. They lump them together.
Yeah,
so like that antelope tag.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 141 through 143 and then 151 and something else.
Yeah.
But they group them together.
Yeah,
and they're
just
phenomenal.
Like the hunt unit. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they are. They're great. You click it and then the information starts to come up. And these are the biologist's notes as well as an accumulated and report of the past X amount of years of data that has been collected on where the animals are, what they're doing, how they're doing, when they're moving around. They are a great way.
Access.
And it provides access.
Yep.
So you get into those sheets and then it goes into, you know, if you have an archery tag, if you have an illegal weapon tag, if you have a muzzleloader tag. So then you can read about those. They are actually really awesome. So I definitely recommend if you are just looking to kind of get some information on your area for the year, get into those information sheets, those hunter information sheets, and research those. Those are the same sheets that a lot of the hunting apps use.
Yes.
They actually, like Onyx Hunt and several others.
Go Hunt
and all of those.
Stuff. Yeah.
When you open those and go into their resources, most
this
of those,
is what
if
they're
not
using.
All of them, are linked straight to the Endow website, and it'll bring it up, but it'll bring it up in their format.
Right.
So it looks like theirs, but it's actually right off of the Endow website.
Perfect example. I just went in, I looked at one, I clicked the little drop-down tab on Antelope, I put in the unit group, or I scrolled down to the unit group, 141, 143, 151 through 156. I mean, it's great. It's got access. These units are accessible via several well-maintained dirt roads off NV 305, 306. It goes through that. Recommended hunting areas. The highest pronghorn densities occur in the southern portion of Unit 141. And then it has biologist comments.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's awesome.
They are a great tool to get started. They're no substitute for actually getting out and scouting and getting boots on the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
But this will point you in the right direction.
Right. I mean, this information is basically the foundation for your hunt. You read this, you look at your maps, you kind of start putting some waypoints in there and some places, but nothing is going to beat you getting out there and actually standing at the waypoint that you just put on your Onyx or Go Hunt, and then going from there, like, okay, where are these animals now? Where do I camp? Where do I do this? Where do I do that? Where are they moving? You know, you can't rely on the resources 100%. I mean, you can. It might slow your hunt down, but you can't replace getting your eyes on the land yourself and hiking around and glassing and checking things out.
Yeah.
Nothing beats that.
No, and I mean, some of this stuff may be a couple years old, but I would argue
A lot of this is updated every year.
Oh, it is updated every year. Okay.
Yeah, this information can be updated every year, because I know on Pat's California sheep tag.
Right, right.
When we got on, it talked about Slumgullion being washed out that year.
Oh, so they are updated.
I mean, they update it the best they can, because that's a lot of info. A lot of units and a lot of info. But road and access and stuff is pretty relatively easy to do. But yeah, it told us like Slumgullion's totally washed out.
Yeah.
Don't bother even trying it.
Well, I was gonna make the point, if you're one of my buddies and you're listening to this right now and you're like, man, I just texted Henry about that. Why is he? Hey, look, I love those texts. Don't stop sending them. But the fact of the matter is, the most recent I've been in some of these units was last hunting season. Stuff changes.
Oh, yeah.
And I could tell you, hey, I sat on this knob and we shot that bull here or that antelope over here, whatever. Those animals may have dispersed. They may, realistically, texting the phone a friend line is not a bad thing to use.
Oh, no, it's a great start.
Yeah, but it's nothing more than a start.
Exactly. And these resources will take hours and hours, and if not days, off of your scouting.
Absolutely.
Because it really helps you figure out like what areas to focus on. Because as most of us know, some of our hunt units are absolutely enormous.
Like, you're hunting the size of Connecticut or something.
I mean, Area 16.
Entire
center of the state.
Yes.
It's insane. So having these resources saying, this is where we see the concentrations, this is where the quality is, this is where the quantity is, it gives you the compass, man. It tells you kind of like where to start your scouting.
So, absolutely.
And also looking at weather over the past previous years.
Yes. Yeah.
I was on an elk hunt 2 years ago where we had a, you know, the central and eastern part of the state had just an awesome winter. So when we went out, there was water everywhere and there was fresh green up. It was absolutely optimum for animal and antler growth. But with that much water spread out all over the place, the animals were spread out everywhere.
Yep.
So
I've been on hunts like that.
Yeah. So it made that a little bit tougher. This year, I've been looking at the winters for the central and eastern part of the state and northern part of the state, and they were average at best. So that tells me I got to get out to my elk area and check out some of these springs that I've visited over the last 20 years.
Make sure they're still pumping.
Are they flowing? Is the water look good? Is it still going to be there in August, type of thing? So getting on the ground and checking some of these spots out and, you know, marking them as dead or, this is going to be a good spot right now is going to be key.
Oh, absolutely. I want to put out there to listeners, piggybacking on all this stuff, I mean, the resources are posted. They're great. I have yet to find a biologist who wouldn't return my phone call.
Yes.
And maybe that makes the endow biologists crazy, but I'm that guy that I'm like, man, I haven't been in this unit. I'll do the phone a friend thing. I'll do the hunt information sheet thing. But then I take that extra step. It's 10 minutes out of my day and I call endow. And it's like, hey, who's the biologist for this area? Here's my number. Here's what I've got. they always return my call. And they're always willing to be like, hey, look, take this with a grain of salt because I was out there, you know, whenever. But here's where I would look. And it's like, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, they're all very receptive. That's part of the job. So, yeah. But they're super receptive. The beauty is they're out there more than probably anyone else out there. Even the guides. I mean, they're out in their areas constantly. They're going to be able to tell you, like, the right now access.
Right.
Like, this area is really bad. This area is closed off because of this, that, or 10 other things. This area just got bought by someone else, and they fenced everything off. You know, they'll be able to tell you that kind of stuff before you drive 4 or 5 hours and find out, I can't back out of here with my toy hauler.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. Now I'm toast.
4 or 5 hours, that's not bad. Some of those, you drive 12 hours, it's like, oh, buddy.
Oh,
buddy. You don't want to get down there and go, oh, man, what am I going to do with my fifth wheel now?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So, hey, don't be a stranger to the Endow biologist. Give them a call. Check out the hunt information sheets. Again, you just go to endow.org, type in the search bar, hunt information sheets or hunt unit information sheets. It'll come up. You can isolate your species, the exact unit, all that stuff. Let's see. Next up, Dave, let's go listener interactions. We'll talk about a few things that we've, or a few conversations we've been having with people. So do not go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Backcountry. Sincere thank you to Legacy Sports International, home of the Howard Superlight, for sponsoring the show. And sincere thank you to all of you listeners that tune in or you stream the podcast. Dave and I were just talking over the break about, you know, people coming up to us and like, hey, man, and I always forget how much we put out there about our personal lives and what we do and this, that, and the other thing. And people feel like they know you. And I love that. But there are some of those times where it's like somebody comes up and they're like, hey, Henry, I'm so da 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 da. And they start talking to you about stories that we've told on the show or whatever. And I'm just sitting there with that deer in the headlights look like, am I that old? Like, who is this? Do I know this person? Yeah. So, hey, don't stop doing it. Man, if Dave and I are out and about, if we're palling around over at Hunting House or whatever, come up to us, introduce yourself. Just add the caveat that you're a listener so I don't think I have dementia and I don't know who you are. Yeah. Just say, hey, man, I'm Johnny John Johnson and I listen to the show and I'll be like, oh, man, awesome, dude. Hey, good to meet you. Not like, is this a long lost cousin? Like, what's going on? How does this guy know my kids' names? So listener interaction. We got a couple conversations we've had with people now. Tags are out. One of which was someone talking about panic or just going, man, I have this tag. I listened to the show. I really want to get into this big game hunting thing. I did it. I took your advice. I put in. Holy crap, I got a tag now.
Now
it becomes real.
Yeah, now it's real, and now they are really nervous and unsure. Like, and what do I do now? Now I've got this tag in my hand. Yep. Now what?
Can I actually do this?
Yeah.
So we wanted to talk a little bit about that as far as controlling some of that. I call it panic. It doesn't necessarily have to
anxiety,
be panic. Anxiety.
All kinds of stuff.
And I'll preface this with, hey, I can screw it up with the best of them. So take what I know what to do. Whether or not I actually do that is that's a whole nother. So take this with a grain of salt. But what did I tell the person who was talking about like being unsure of whether or not they could do it? I told them it's a rifle tag that she got. You don't know what a shooting bench is now. From now until season, shoot standing, shoot kneeling, shoot from the prone, bring your pack out, throw the rifle on that, figure out like, hey, that's great that you can shoot, you know, a baseball sized group at 500 yards off of a bench underneath a shady covering on a windless day.
Yeah.
That ain't hunting.
Yeah.
That's going to change pretty dramatically. And realistically, that's all you can do to prepare is, hey, oh, it looks like it's going to be drizzling and the wind's howling. Go shoot.
Yeah.
Figure out what that does to your shot. that's all you can do. And I think you made the point too in that text conversation. If you focus on the negative, if you focus on the, oh crap, I got a bull in the crosshairs now. What am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? Odds are you're going to screw it up.
Yeah.
Focus on what you can control.
Yep.
And that'd be like the only advice really I have to give. It's the same stuff. You've seen me do it at the range where it's like, okay, I can shoot this, that, or the other thing. Now I'm going to do 50 jumping jacks and I'm going to run down to the gun. I'm going to chamber around and I'm going to try to get a shot off as fast as possible. Did that change my effective ethical range?
Right.
You know, because there's only so much you can control in the field. And I would encourage people to ditch the bipod, ditch the shooting bench, shoot off stuff you're actually at, shoot at angles.
Yeah, well, and find where your confidence is.
100%.
You know, archery world, there's a lot of folks that I've talked to that they're not comfortable beyond 40 yards.
Randy Newberg's a perfect example.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not comfortable beyond 40 yards. And then they, well, where's your comfort zone? I'm like, well, mine's going to be way different than yours.
100%.
If the conditions are right, I have no problem taking an 80-yard shot. You've got to find that comfort zone.
Yes.
You need to understand. And where you are consistent. Not you can put one arrow in the target.
Be honest with yourself.
Yeah, honest with yourself. If you can put one arrow in the target and the other five are scattered all over the place and you don't know, you know, that's not confidence. That's not consistency.
No.
You got to put all five in there. So it's building that. It's understanding where your threshold is. Because this is an animal we're talking about. You, the last thing you want to do, especially with an elk or a larger animal, is put a bad shot on them, because you're going to be chasing that thing for a very long time. And they'll go miles. And a lot of times, you know, you lose blood and then
who knows
where they go.
Yeah. And so, elk especially.
Oh, God.
They love going down. If they are gut shot or whatever, like they love going down in the thickest, gnarliest, steepest canyon with water at the bottom.
Yeah.
And they will just beeline for that if you don't kill them where they stand or within 100 yards of where they stand. And man, that can make for some nightmarish hunts.
Yeah. So, well, and on that, I had a friend years ago put a bad shot on an elk, and we spent the entire day, shot it in the morning, and it was just about dark when we found it. So we're talking 12 hours later or so. And that thing had traveled about 4.5-5 miles. And the only reason we spotted it, because we got to a high elevation, lost blood trail hours before, and got up top on this point where we could see a lot of country. And he happened to spot part of its antler sticking out of a bush.
Yeah.
It just absolute
dumb luck.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolute dumb luck.
Yep.
But we found it and then spent half the night processing it and then getting it out of that canyon. But the thing traveled 4.5-5 miles.
Yes. Yeah, they will go.
It was insane.
And was that a rifle or an archery?
That was rifle.
That was with, yeah.
That was with a rifle.
I was going to make that point because, hey, look, I'm an open book. I air my dirty laundry on the show. I lost an elk in Montana, a bull in Montana, that I put a bad shot on with a rifle, made a bad wind call. And man, that was shooting a 300 Win Mag. And that thing was hit pretty hard, just not in the right spot.
Yeah.
I never found it. And I spent a whole day looking and looking and looking, and they get in that thick stuff.
Oh yeah.
Blood dries up, and I'm dollars to donuts. That bull died somewhere, but I never found it. That was with, I think I was shooting like a 200 some odd grain. I mean, it was a hammer of a rifle. And if you dial back from that, that's what they're capable of with a bad shot with a large caliber rifle. Archery stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It can get ugly quickly.
Oh, yeah. It's super, yeah. Yeah, because his was a gut shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was quartering. He thought it was broadside and it was quartering. And he thought he shot like a liver shot, which would have killed it, you know, relatively quick, but it wasn't.
So he did wind up finding and killing that bull.
Yeah, we ended up finding him, and you know, he spotted a portion of the antler sticking out of some sagebrush, and we went down there, and he was still alive. He was not doing good.
Oh, he was having a bad day.
I'm not going to describe what the scene looked like with the intestines, but and he put another hole in it, and then that was it. But
okay,
still.
That's best case scenario. That was
the best possible case ending we could have had.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, and most people, to be honest, as crappy as it is, most people would have given up hours before.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. I'm glad you did, because I didn't want to start on my, like, I hate people rant or like, but do not be that thief of joy that puts holes in multiple animals. And then like, if it doesn't die right there, you're like, oh, well, I still got a tag. I'm going to go find something. Now, don't be that person.
Yeah. Yeah. If it doesn't fall within the you being able to see it. Oh, it ran over the hill. It must be fine.
Yeah.
No, it's not how it works.
Not at all. So don't be that person. Put the effort into, look, I'm not saying shred your tag. If you spend 48, you spend 2 days traipsing about trying to find blood. Like if you put an honest effort into it and at the end of the day, it's like, man, blood dried up here. I covered this, you know, 3-4 mile circle and I haven't found a hide nor hair of this thing. Do that for a couple days, put the honest effort in. And then at the end of the day, it's like, your ethics will dictate. If you want to shred the tag and go home, they shred the tag and go home. You want to keep hunting? I'm not going to say boo about it. No. As long as you've done the work leading up to it.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's Henry's two cents on the whole thing. Let's take a quick break. Final segment of Nevada Backcountry coming up. And we're going to get into some setup stuff, archery setups. Shoot, rifle. I may even, I'll throw some rifle stuff in there. That is coming up on the final segment. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Final segment of Nevada Backcountry on this Sunday. Thank you to Battleborn Tree Service, Mike and the crew down there. Don't get yourself in a pickle. Everybody wants to be out scouting right now. If that honey-do list includes trees on your property, buy yourself a little bit of time. Give Battleborn Tree Service a call. Let them knock that off your list so you can get out and start scouting. Let's see.
Set up stuff. Get credit for getting something off your list.
Amen.
Right?
Oh, that's... Fellas, ladies, if you're out there listening, start putting some money in that karma bank right now at home, because as Dave and I talked about, man, come August, I know, hey, weeds are still going to be growing, still going to have chickens running around. I'm still going to have house projects. I got to build up some goodwill at home right now so I can get out and hunt.
Exactly.
Setup stuff, Dave. What should people start thinking about now as far as, okay, I've got a tag, you know, what should they start doing?
So here we are, we have our tag. What's the first thing I would do?
Yes.
Or, you know, I think people should do so they don't complicate things is definitely get your bow, your muzzleloader, or your rifle out and check it out. Just like
clean it and give it a once over.
Exactly. Give it a once over. Make sure things are copacetic and ready. Take it out, do some shooting, find out if you need new strings or bus cables, or hey, the limb's cracked, how'd that happen, you know, that type of thing. Or with your rifle, you know, make sure the scope's set up, make sure your gear is ready. That's number one. I mean,
doesn't make any weird creaks or cracks when you
you know, it's important to make sure, because like we were stating earlier, 2 weeks out from a hunt is about the worst time for you to go, oh man, I should probably get some arrows made and I should probably, you know, dust off the case and see if this thing shoots.
Yeah.
You're starting out like probably one of the coolest time periods of the year for outdoorsmen and women with a real bad taste in his mouth.
Yeah.
You know, you get out there and you find out your sight's all jacked up or it's damaged or God knows what. And you're like, yeah, good luck trying to find a gunsmith at that point in time to do anything.
No, it's not going to happen. And not just let's say you do pull it out and everything's copacetic. You've wiped it down. You've cleaned your rifle,
Shot it. It's dialed in and you're ready.
To piggyback on that, I would say do not change your setup dramatically. And this is another listener interaction we've had. You know, I would not start, if you are legal, and we can talk about what makes a legal setup for archery in the state of Nevada. But if you are legal and you're at least pulling 50 pounds and your arrows are at least 430, 440 grains, Man, I would not start monkeying with that now. No. Honestly, for me, I wouldn't go up in draw weight.
No.
I would not
unless
change.
You have to.
Unless you have
and
to.
And you're trying to build it up and you're trying to get yourself to say 50 or 55 pounds and you're at 40 right now. But you're going to have to put some effort in, put some shoot time in to build that up to get there. But yeah, if you're right, if you're already at the point, like you're already shooting 60 pounds and you're happy with everything, don't go changing stuff.
Just shoot it.
Just shoot it.
Yep.
Build that confidence. Understand your thresholds. Shoot on your knees. Shoot, you know, leaning over, like put something up and shoot around it. You know, like if you're.
So throw the pack just, on. Shoot with that. Yeah.
That kind of stuff. No, I totally agree. And if you have to. Find out now. So I've got a I've got a friend who actually contacted me the day after tags were out.
Yep.
And said, "Hey, I've had this bow for like 15 years. I really want to upgrade. Where can I go?" So I pointed him to Chandler and Tim and Logan House. At Hunting House, sent him down there, but he did it like right away.
Yes.
He did it right away. He's not waiting until, you know, before the hunt starts.
July 14th.
Yeah. Because he knows that I've got to buy this bow. I've got to get it set up and I've got to shoot it a lot so that I'm familiar with it. I'm comfortable with it. And I know how it and I's relationship is. Like, you know,
what's my miss and what causes my miss?
Because every bow is going to be different, but he did it the right way. He's like, day after tags is out, he's down there and he picked himself up a bow and gear and he's like, all right, now he's shooting. So
if it's who I think you're talking about, and I think it is, I know who you're talking about. He's a hell of a hunter.
Oh, he's a beast.
So he's going to do things the right way.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. He's a beast. So, but yeah, so if you're going to find it out now so that you can fix it and then you can work with it and get yourself back to, I can shoot anything with this thing.
Yeah. Let's step back just for a second. What are the legal requirements for archery equipment in the state of Nevada?
In the state of Nevada, the bow has to be at least 40 pounds.
Yep.
The arrow has to be at least, I think it's 26 inches.
Yep.
And it cannot be any more than 80% let off.
Correct. Yeah.
So,
which that we don't have to waste any time on this last segment about that. Yeah. I could go on for days about how that's a bogus.
True.
But anyway, so those are the legal requirements. And we had some listener interaction with someone that is right at like 38 pounds, a female is what she's drawing. That's not legal and not what I would consider ethical.
Especially with the tag that she has.
Yeah, yeah. Just me personally, and I know somebody out there listening may say, like, man, my kid killed their 180-inch buck at 45 yards with a... Okay, I get that. Just me personally, I like at least 50 pounds, especially like for female hunters. If you can get them to 50 pounds and get them to at least... like that 440-ish, 450-ish grain range for arrows, and just understand that it's going to be a 40, 45 and in setup.
Yeah.
And just, hey, have that conversation with them like, hey, this is the deal. Like, I don't care if it's the bull of a lifetime and it's at 62 yards, sneak closer. This is what you're going to be doing. Now, that's me personally. What's your take on it for archery stuff, Dave?
Mine's pretty close to yours. It's making sure that your gear and you are capable of putting a really good humane kill shot on the animal.
Yeah, valid.
And,
okay.
And doing that, like you said, like, you know, 40 yards and in, 45 yards and in, you know, with those weights, they can, depending on the animal, if they're shooting antelope or deer, you know, they could go to like a 400, 410 grain arrow.
Yep.
You know, would be 11% forward or something. Something like that would be perfect.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah.
It'd
let
be
me
perfect.
Let
It'd
me
be
add
perfect.
The caveat. When I'm talking about a 450 grain arrow, 50, I was specifically talking about like elk.
Yeah. Yeah. Elk, you definitely want like my arrows are going to be right at 473.
Perfect.
And that's my elk arrow.
Perfect.
So, which is.
Yeah, antelope and deer, awesome. You know, if you can get them to 50-pound draw weight and like a 420 grain arrow or something.
Like, you're fine.
Send it.
Yeah. You send it.
yeah.
Yeah, but I would agree. I think what you stated is just about right on.
And that's
right on.
You can get there even if, like I said, that listener interaction, that friend of ours, you know, she's right there at the legal, right close to the legal limit right now. She's got time.
Oh, for sure.
If she shoots every single day, we can get her up to like 46, 48 pounds of draw weight by the season, get her, make sure her arrow weighs what it needs to weigh. And honestly, even just, hey, you got three pins, you got 20, 30, 40. Let's get you to one of those ranges on a cow and just smash it. Don't even, hell, take out the bottom two pins because they don't exist in your world right now.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I agree. So that's stuff you need to be working on right now because as you're bumping up that weight, that is going to affect your draw. It's going to affect a few different components to your form.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's going to change how your draw cycle
how much
is.
Weight you're holding on that back
exactly.
end and
it's
everything.
Have all of that. So you want to get to that usable weight as quick as possible because you want to be able to shoot with that weight for at least, you know, 2 or 3 weeks before the season
and
kicks
shoot
off.
Every day with that weight.
Well, I mean, talking to you and I,
I shoot every day.
Shoot
anyway.
Every day. I mean,
that's my hobby.
People there, do you take your bow out of the case? I'm like, most of my bows don't have cases. They're hanging on the wall because I just walk out there and like, oh, okay, I'm going to shoot my hunting bow. I'm going to shoot my 3D bow. I'm going to shoot my indoor competition bow. I'm going to shoot my Olympic recurve.
But it always makes me happy, Dave, that I met you. And when I walk into your house and you've got bows stacked in the living room, because it's the same for the longest time. I was like, do I have a problem? Because you walk into my house and I got bows against the wall in the dining room. You go into my bedroom, I got bows hanging. I got a bow rack in my closet, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to walk into somebody's house where it's like, oh yeah, you get your draw board and your press right here and your living room has bows all. So it's a little different for us, but I make the joke, I don't have a personality outside of hunting. I just,
but no one likes it.
Oh, bingo. Yeah. I don't have a weekly poker night with the guys. I don't play in like the company softball league or any. I shoot my bow. That's what I like doing.
Yeah. I break mine up with pickleball.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to find something outside of hunting. Maybe I'll take up rollerblading.
And no one make fun of me. Pickleball's awesome.
Yeah. Hey, so that's it for this weekend's episode of Nevada Backcountry. Do not go anywhere. Tom Gresham's Gun Talk is coming up next.